This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله يسعدك من أمين.
اللهم صل وسلم يا ربنا صل وسلم.
اللهم يا ربنا صل وسلم وبارك وانعم على خير خلقك محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. طيب بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah. And may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Begin by greeting you all. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, I'll try to keep this as condense as precise as possible and not make it long. Two things want to see if we can inshallah cover. Number one is the amount not only of silence but the amount of celebration that is taking place on the part of specifically the evangelical Christian community with what is happening in Palestine. You see, remember, really, really sad, but they say that initially we overlook evil and then we permit evil and then we legalize evil and then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil, and then we prosecute the people who call evil, evil. And this is what you see happening today. Specifically and sadly, on the part of evangelical Christians. And inshallah, we will have a class on Christian Zionism. And please remember, when we speak about Zionism, keep in mind that not every Jewish person is a Zionist. In fact, a good number, the majority of people who are demonstrating, who are protesting, who are getting arrested nowadays, are people who are from within the Jewish community and they are saying, not in our name. In fact, today there was a really nice demonstration in Oakland, California. And it was an attempt to stop a ship heading its way to Israel with full of military equipment. They were attempting to stop that shipment and attempting to prevent that ship from going there. These are people who are like saying, don't do this in our name. Do not do this in our name. So please remember that. Not every Jew is a Zionist. More important, the majority of Zionists around the world are not Jewish. The majority of Zionists around the world are actually Christians. And hence the name comes from Christian Zionism. Pew Research had a study or a survey back in 2013 asking people if they were okay with moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The majority of Jewish people did not want the embassy to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but the majority of evangelical Christians were in favor of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that begs the question, and that is, why do they do this? Why and when did it start? Not to bore you with a lot of dates and details, but this is really, really old. Some people trace it back as far as 1588. Some people date it back to 1800 with John Darby. But within Christianity, there is a field known as eschatology. So eschatology is the study of the end of time. What is going to happen towards the end of time? And Christians, specifically evangelical American Christians, they have their own understanding, be it dispensationalism, be it the rapture, whatever the case is. American evangelicals, they have got their own eschatology. Their eschatology consists that in order for Jesus, peace be upon him, to return back to earth, the Jews must have their temple be done. In order to get there, there was different movements that took place, but again, for our sake, two meetings were really important. 1969, Billy Graham met with Jewish rabbis here in 1969. That's an important date. We will go over the details, inshallah, in our class. And in 1979, Jerry Falwell, if you remember the name, passed away during Corona, I believe. Jerry Falwell created a movement known as the Moral Majority. And it was that movement that got their very first president elected, and that was Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was an eschatologist. He believed in whatever it is that the moral majority came up with. And from there on, the political movement gained a lot of track. And as of today, the most famous face of that is Pastor John Hagee from San Antonio, Texas. And supposedly they have got 70 million people as part of their movement. In any case, so what happens now that they believe that in order for the second coming of Jesus to happen, the Jews must have built their temple. So in the old days, it used to be that, okay, let's just wait for God's plan to take place. Well, they moved that and they said, instead of waiting for God's plan to take place, let's see if we can expedite God's plan. So part of the moral majority, they came up with about 5 or 6 points, but one of them was the unconditional support for the state of Israel. So much so that one time John Hagee said that whatever the policy, our foreign policy is the foreign policy of Israel. So much so, because there is a verse in the Bible that says that blessed are those who bless Israel and cursed are those who curse Israel. So as long as we are blessed for blessing Israel, God will bless us. And the minute we turn our back on Israel, we will be cursed by God. So one of their principles is the unconditional support for Israel. And these are the people who are the Christian Zionists, very, very influential, very, very dedicated, and to them it is a matter of religion. You know, back in the 1990s and the early 2000s, what kept Israeli tourism afloat is that 40% of the tourists in Israel actually came from Christian Zionists. A lot of money that was donated came from Christian Zionists. So now what happens is anybody that opposes these people, any politician that is, it is a political suicide for them. So in case you're wondering, why is it that this is taking place? Please remember that there is a theology behind it. It is a theological movement with a lot of politics that is taking place. Inshallah, like we said in the class, we are going to learn more about Christian Zionism and their work in this regard and what they are doing. The second point, Shabab, hate propaganda really works. Hate propaganda works because we can see the evidence for it. People being attacked, people being mocked,
verbal abuse, murder, attempts of murder. We know about young boy Wadi' that was killed by his neighbor. We know about Dr. Sister Khan, just found out that the person that killed her, every time he would stab her, he would actually check her pulse and find out that, oh, she's not dead yet, and he would go and he would stab her some more and then check on the pulse again and stab her some more because he wanted to really make sure that she's dead. Somebody must have been filled up with a lot of hate for them to be doing something like this. Because propaganda really works. Remember, propaganda is a system by which you manipulate people to act, to believe, to buy, to sell things that you want them to believe, to say, to act, to sell, to buy, whatever the case is. So propaganda works, and it works very, very well. And like we said yesterday, the very first casualty of war is truth. أُولَ ضَحَيَ الْحَرْبِ الْحَقِيقَةِ. Death is the first, or truth is the first casualty of war. Because remember that people are not interested in truth when it comes to these things. Hitler said, I quoted Hitler the other day, and subhanAllah, one of the ministers in Israel also said the same thing. He said that to be objective will only help the Palestinians. To be objective only helps the Palestinians. We have an agenda, and we can only and we must only push our agenda. So propaganda works. The good news though is this. Remember when I was talking about the Christian Zionists? These are all older people. Younger people don't get their news from CNN. Younger people don't get their news from Fox News. I believe that the average person that watches Fox News is over 40 years old. Okay? The majority of people do not get their news from Fox or from CNN. They get it a lot from social media. Now, this is where the next battle is going to be. How do you get young people to do? And all you have to do is just watch. I'm very sure those of us who are immigrants or those of us who are concerned about this, you will be watching like hundreds of thousands of people demonstrated in Barcelona. They'll be demonstrating in Amsterdam. They'll be demonstrating in Serbia. They'll be demonstrating in Romania. But this stuff will never make it to the mainstream media. You will never see it there. Because that is not part of the narrative. Now the narrative is the entire Palestine is downsized to Gaza. All the Palestinians are downsized now to Hamas. So when they better speak, they speak that Israel bombed Gaza. Israel bombed Hamas. Israel. But wait a minute. Palestine is bigger than Gaza. The Palestinians are more than Hamas. But what you do is that you reduce the entire country into one city, you reduce the entire population into one group of people that you have dehumanized. And that is how the story is being told. That is how the story is being pushed. Remember, it's brilliant work. It's very wicked work. It is very, very wicked. But it's working. It is working because all these committed voters are voting because these politicians do not want to commit political suicide, so they have to push even more. So much so that a congressman from Montana today was pushing to strip all Palestinians who are green card holders or who are waiting for temporary status. He wanted all of them to be deported because the United States cannot trust them. That's like very, that these are like serious steps for actually. Now, whether the bill passes or not is not the point. But for somebody to actually promote such a thing, that is very, very serious. Through which you are criminalizing an entire group of people. And he called the Bill Safe Act, S-A-F-E, Saving America from Extremism. That was the name of the bill that is being proposed. And that is very, very dangerous. When it gets to this point. Remember what we said earlier? about how we initially overlook evil, and then we permit evil, and then we legalize evil, and then we promote evil, and then we celebrate evil, and then we prosecute the people who call evil, evil. And we're getting there. We are getting there. They're talking about nowadays on college campuses. U.S. college campuses happen to be some of the freest. Now, this is where a lot of thinking is taking place. What is the proposal now? On college campuses, Homeland Security, along with the FBI, along with the security forces in these U.S. colleges, they are going to be monitoring anti-Semitism and hate speech. What does that mean? What does that mean? They're talking about people losing their jobs. They're talking about students. The American, Palestinian American, what's the name of that organization? AMP, American, isn't it? Students for?
AMPAC.
Not AMPAC, no. SGP? Students for Justice of Palestine. They're talking about criminalizing their behavior because they are promoting hate speech. You know, eventually, every single khutbah is going to be hate speech. Because now what happens is that if you speak about the suffering of the people of Gaza, oh, you must be with Hamas. And by the way, please remember not to put anybody in trouble. Historically speaking, there has never been a consistent definition of who's a terrorist. Terrorism has always been a label that is placed on organizations out of conveniency. Nelson Mandela was a terrorist. You guys know that? Nelson Mandela was a terrorist. Up until 1994, Nelson Mandela had to get a special visa to be admitted to the United States. So when he said that somebody is a terrorist, according to whom? Since when does the oppressor have the moral authority to label who is a terrorist and who is not? Whatever the case is, it is not looking good. It is getting very, very serious. That when you have got people criminalizing free speech, I mean, isn't that what makes America great? The idea of free speech, free thinking, the ability to express your opinions and all that stuff that was said earlier. But no, nowadays they're looking into, we are going to put an end to anti-Semitism. Why are you doing this? Because it makes Jewish students uncomfortable. It makes Jewish students unsafe, they said. No, what happens is that if you support apartheid, you should feel uncomfortable. If my speech is denouncing the apartheid system that is taking place in Palestine, and as a result you are not comfortable with it, you deserve not to be comfortable. But again, what we are seeing here is that is a push to absolute acceptance of whatever it is that is taking place, and that is not good. Now, like I said, social media is becoming a place where people are getting their information. A lot of people are changing their minds. They're changing their views on the basis of them following their social media. Please do not undermine social media. If you see something there, you want people to know it, repost it. Send it again. It may look very small. It may look very, you know, nonsensical, but believe me, a lot of the people that are changing their mind, they're changing their mind because of what they are seeing on social media. And I say this to young people, you know, if you have accounts, some of us are not very social media savvy, but if you have the accounts, if you have the skills, if you have the know-how, I'm telling you, this is the time for you to shine. This is the time for you to do something to your ummah. Locally, I think it's very important that we be vigilant. because there are a lot of crazies out there. And like, you know, we've been getting sisters, especially sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, especially our sisters who are hijabi 24, you know, all the time, 24/7. Because these are the easiest target, they're the softest target, but they're also the most visible target. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Remember, the point here is not to succumb to fear. The point here is not to succumb to fear, but to be vigilant. And in the process, we want to continue to be a voice for those who are voiceless, and we want to continue to speak on behalf of those who are unable to speak for themselves. Last point, I am absolutely shocked by the amount of cruelty in the Israeli society. To be fair, in the majority of the Israeli society. These people are cruel, man. They are cruel. They're not moved by people dying, by people suffering. They're not moved by seeing images of babies dying. They would be celebrating. The cruelty is unbelievable. And sometimes the Quran would speak about how فَهِيَّ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدَّ قَسْوَةً. He said that their hearts are hard like a rock, even more than that. Because now the idea is, when we see suffering, you know, just, it is a human thing, is that you feel sorry. Like, if you feel sorry, man, this is not good. Earlier today, I was talking about the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. He said, كنا في سفر مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We were traveling with the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فتركنا لقضاء حاجته. So he left us to, you know, do his personal business. And then فرأينا حمرة. We saw a red bird. معها فرخان. Had two young chicks with her. We took away her chicks. And that's when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came. قال فرأها تضرب بجناحها على الأرض. And he saw that the red bird was, you know, flapping her wings around us. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من فجع هذه. Who has put this red bird, الحمرة, من فجع, who has put it through distress and agony. فقالوا نحن يا رسول الله. فبر الله, we did that, we took two of her chicks. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ردوها. Put it back, give it back, the Prophet ﷺ. Because he could not stand a mother going through this over her chicks being burned. But these people are not moved. These people are not, when you have got their rabbis coming out saying that, kill them, kill all their children, kill all their, it takes, you have to be heartless to verbalize this. I remember I said like, man, it's really sad, but you know, war is bad. And you can say that, even though you mean something else. But to these people, they went out of their way to point out that they want the kids dead. They want the kids dead. The level of cruelty at that point is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Or the mocking. You know what is trending nowadays? Is not real. On TikTok, Israel is not real. What's trending? Reservists who come back home and they meet their children. Now people be taking pictures. Israeli soldiers coming back home and their children's running towards them. And like, this is trending. Like, everybody's taking pictures. You know, everybody's making videos of, you know, these kids running towards their babies. We call this the epitome of hypocrisy. Because here you are cherishing your own children after having come back from killing somebody else's children. That doesn't make you a good father, just makes you a thug. You are a hypocrite if that's what you do. And unfortunately, this is what is going on. So I'm absolutely baffled by how cruel these people are. But you know what? These are soldiers, these are politicians talking. I'm sorry, but even you look, you know how sometimes we look into women being the softer ones? You'd have these women come, say, we want all of them dead. We want the kids dead. Say, you're a mother. Like, how can you be saying this? Like they say, they made sure that they are hated by their neighbors, to say the least. Absolutely hated and despised by your neighbors. And remember, when you are in a neighborhood and you're really hated, there's no amount of good security that will keep you safe. There is no fence that's too high that will keep you safe. There is no amount of technology that is so sophisticated that will keep you safe. If you are hated in your own neighborhood, you are not safe. You will never be safe by virtue of the way that you are behaving. Please remember that every little thing helps. What we post on social media, the phone calls that you make to your representatives, the fact that you reach out to your neighbors, the fact that you can call the politicians, the fact that we be more careful as to who we vote in office. Because remember, politically speaking, Muslims are not people to count on. Muslims are an afterthought. This is not to put political activism down. But I tell you, many people do not put on their plan, oh, we've got to get the Muslims vote. No, that's not how it works. To many, the Muslim vote is an afterthought. And that is not good. And that is not healthy. So if we're going to, you know, political activism has to get more sophisticated than the way that we have been doing things. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the people of Gaza safe, Ya Rabbil Alameen. If any of us have relatives and all of the people in Gaza are our relatives, may you hear only good news about your relatives, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them peace, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the people who are destroying them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace the people who have let them down and they could have done something about it. And may Allah not make us amongst them. And may Allah help the people who are helping them and make us amongst them. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Adha Allahu alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes.
He was congressman for 24 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. And by accident, he had to go to Yemen because one boy of his constituency was arrested by Yemeni people because he was on plane and a plane became, you know, wrong something, so he had to stop. And this boy, young teenager boy, took some pictures. At that time, Yemen was Russian and American. You know? So, Russian. So, what happened? This is the first time he went to Yemen to rescue this boy, American boy, who was from his constituency. And that changed his perspective for the Muslims. You know, he never interacted with the Muslims.
Yep.
He had immense hate for Muslims. And when he came back, after seeing Yemenis, how good people they are and this, and then he always supported Israel. And he always won the election. But just because he went to Yemen, the Israeli lobby became absolutely against him. They said, why did you go to Yemen? He explained that boy was arrested and I went to rescue him. But they did not take it. You know, they said, because you went to Arab country, so you are our, you know, enemy. So they made sure that he will lose. But the most important, then he wrote a book, which was one of the bestsellers, They Speak Out. They dared to speak out because then he became sensitized that anybody who spoke a little bit about Israel or did something which Israel did not like, Israel made sure that man or thing is politically finished.
Yeah.
But then he remembered, then he wrote many books after that, and he studied Quran and those kind of things. Then he thought why he had that animosity towards Muslim. Then he remembered, that is in his book, that when he was a student in the 8th grade, some volunteer teacher came to the class and put all the poison against Muslims and Islam. And that was sticking to his mind.
Yeah.
He became old person, he was a senior congressman and everything. Then he wrote many books. And one of the things, I will take 1-2 minutes. He, in one of his books, he says that in his constituency, he put the names of 24 or 25 people, that they are from my constituency, they are all Muslim. They never had, they did not get tawfiq to come to me, my office, to explain what Islam is. Then see the allegation, and very real allegation. He said, I was their member, I was their congressman for 24 years. Not a single man of this constituency came to me to explain what Islam is. Then was one the last thing. Then there was some lady doctor, Atiya. She opened a clinic, charity clinic for